And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
It's been a roller coaster fantasy hockey playoffs thus far, that's for sure. Hello, welcome to another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 22, Mailbag Edition. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen with you. What's going on, Jake? How are you, bud?
I'm doing all right, Nick, besides the fact that I faced two New York Rangers on Wednesday night and they combined for 17 shots on goal. Just two guys, 17 shots on goal against the Maple Leafs. That's where the Leafs are at defensively. But I faced Lafreniere and Zibanejad. 10 SOG for Zibanejad and 7 for Lafreniere. So a tough night for yours truly there.
This time of year makes no sense. I don't know if I brought this up last podcast, but in my keeper league, I put together a game plan with my crease to have just a three-headed monster. So I had Hellebuck, I had Shesterkin, and Ottinger. And yeah, of course, I was out in round one. It doesn't make sense. Like, Kirill Vemelka got a shutout against me last week. Why?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you just rattled off three of the top five goalies, right? In the NHL and in fantasy hockey. I mean, this time of the year is a crapshoot. It's 1 week. Anything can happen. You know, Jake mentions those two guys and Mika Zibanejad, Alexi Lafreniere. I mean, heck, the Rangers had 10 shots on goal as a team on Monday. And then Mika turns around and has 10 last night. And for Alexi Lafreniere, I mean, this guy could be a fantasy MVP. He's got 21 points in his past 17 games. He leads the Rangers in a lot of categories. He's got 17 points here in 13 games in March. Jake, he's finally playing on PP1. Is this the Lafreniere we've been waiting for? He showed us signs a couple years ago. Very disappointing season overall, but you wonder now if you own him in a keeper league or a dynasty league, or heck, you're trying to buy low in one of your dynasty formats, maybe he's a target.
You got to be frustrated if you're a Rangers fan to see him doing this now. If you're a fantasy owner, you're not frustrated. You're saying, well, you're doing it at the best time of the year to be doing it in fantasy playoffs. And we talked to Nick for how long about picking up New York Rangers and saying the schedule this week is going to be really good. You're probably a little frustrated after that Monday game where Meany mentioned they only had 10 shots on goal, no offense really to speak of outside of one goal. This was what you were waiting for. Wednesday night matchup against the Leafs. They've got some good matchups the rest of the way as well. So hopefully you did load up on Rangers. But yeah, I'm fighting an uphill battle after that game that Lafreniere and Zibanejad put on me last night.
Well, sorry to hear that. And Jensen, these parts, we call these the empty calories, the Mitch Marners, because it's guys getting points. Matthias Michelli's got 13 points in the last 16 games. And it leads us to our first mailbag question of the podcast. Who's the more disappointing fantasy team this season? Is it the Toronto Maple Leafs or the New York Rangers? I'd probably be going with the Toronto Maple Leafs, just more so the expectation of a different looking team, harder to play against in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But I think as a whole, the big boys, it's been a difficult season from John Tavares, Austin Matthews, Willie Nylander. The points are there, but he hasn't been the same category stuffer this year.
Yeah, I would agree with you in terms of the Leafs is more, you know, firepower, star power up front. You probably drafted Matthews in the first round, Nylander in the second round. Mika Zibanejad has been okay this season, actually. He's had a really good campaign. Lafreniere, we talked about, disappointing. Adam Fox, you know, missed some time with an injury. JT Miller, same sort of deal. And they trade Artemi Panarin, who we talked about for the first couple months of the season as a buy-low candidate. But I feel like one of these guys in Toronto, maybe a lot of them, Austin Matthews, William Nylander, maybe Matthew Nyes, Jake, I'll go back to buy low candidates, and you're in a keeper league, you're in a dynasty league. This is how you improve your squad. Could you go and get an Austin Matthews from somebody in the offseason? Because I expect him to bounce back. He's not going to lose his goal scoring touch. Injuries are certainly a concern with him, but he's still an elite shooter, an elite goal scorer. And I think the Leafs could turn this thing around pretty quickly next year.
Next year is going to be all about the bounce back, because how many teams, guys, did we see miss the playoffs this year that were supposed to, that have a lot of talented fantasy players? We're talking about the Leafs here. The Rangers obviously have a couple of pieces as well. The Florida Panthers are going to miss the playoffs, loaded with talent. They could reset, be ready for next year. The New Jersey Devils as well, a team that is going to miss the playoffs, showing some offensive signs here late in the year. What are we going to do with the Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier, some of these players? So obviously the offseason conversation will save for another day, but it's going to be fascinating to see who we like as a bounce back candidate. And I think a lot of these guys are going to plummet. You're going to get some real good value in your fantasy drafts next season.
Speaking of which, Victor Hedman takes a leave of absence. And I think it's important to stress too that it hasn't been a great fantasy season here for Victor Hedman. I even call him a bust. His ADP, guys, was 39.2. One goal in 33 games, 16 assists, 17 points. And quite frankly, Jake, his job's been taken by Darren Radish.
Well, that's exactly it. Even before this, and I hope all the best for Victor Hedman. The guy's been a beast over the course of his career. We know what he's done in the postseason and the heavy minutes that he's played for Tampa Bay. So hopefully he could be okay in the future, and we'll kind of unpack whatever the situation is for Victor Hedman. But Meany, it's Darren Radish's team now on the back end. It's his power play, and you see the points that he's putting up. Last game was no different, kind of doing his thing back there. And he's another guy I'm very curious what we do with next season. He needs a contract as well. He's going to have to get paid. Where do we draft him? Do we really buy into what he's doing this year? I think I'm buying in as long as he's playing on that Tampa power play with Nikita Kucherov. So it was Radish season already, and that's just going to continue now that Hedman's out.
Yeah, very interested to see what his contract looks like. Does Tampa find a way to bring him back? I think you have to, right? He's got that cannon from the blue line. He checks a lot of boxes in terms of edge stats, and Tampa's power play is going to be lethal again next year. You're looking for replacements. I know we're going to talk about Carter Yakimchuk as well as made his NHL debut this week for the Ottawa Senators. He had 3 shot attempts, all at 5-5, which was tied for the most among Ottawa Senators defensemen. And it's a very small sample size. His ice time was kind of limited, but he did play on the first power play, Nick, and he had a team high plus five in terms of shot attempt differential when he was on the ice. So the Senators are rolling all of a sudden. They have been a good 5-5 team. It's really been about the goaltending. This team looks like they're going to be a playoff team. It's tough to make these moves at this time of the year in your semifinal matchup, but he's certainly somebody to monitor, definitely in the prop market or if you're playing NHL DFS.
Oh, definitely. And just to wrap on the Hedman conversation, drop him. There's no need to wait around. Yeah. He's out and definitely here. Leave of absence. You got to drop him. I know we got some questions in the mailbag about Hedman, what to do with that file. Just drop him, move on. On Yakimchuk, obviously I have a soft spot. I'm buddies with Travis Green. I want to see Ottawa make the playoffs. It's been a great story. I just wonder if they had gotten the saves when Ullmark went down, where this team would be at. But what an NHL debut, Jake, for Carter Yakimchuk. I don't know if he makes his debut if Sanderson and Shabbat are healthy this season, but they've lost both their power play quarterbacks in one fell swoop in the last month. But a goal and an assist, that was a filthy pass. And it's buyer beware on that. Sometimes you're going to, you know, it's got the Evan Bouchard stank to it, if you know what I'm saying. But he makes the play, Stutzla scores it, and I think you got to pick this guy up right now.
I really like this Sens team, Nick, and I got to give your boy Travis Green a shout out for what he did with his goaltenders this week as well. I wasn't so sure about it when I first saw Reimer go in that early game against the Rangers. Turns out any of us could have started against the Rangers and won that hockey game. So he gets the 2 points in the front end of the back-to-back, saves Ullmark for the second half. Ullmark plays great. They end up with 4 of a possible 4 points. Now they're sitting in a playoff spot. I've liked the Sens roster all season, Meany, and I'm finally getting a bit of a return on investment. I think they could be a dangerous team if they make the playoffs. Ullmark keeps playing well. Sanderson returns. Who knows about Shabbat? But I think this is a really, really strong roster. I think not only will they make the playoffs, I think they could make some serious noise when they get there. But what are we doing with this back end? Are we buying into maybe a Cleven? I know Pete mentioned him earlier this week. I don't mind Jordan Spence if he gets a little power play time as well.
Yeah, Clevin's a good pickup, especially in leagues with hits and blocks. And on Monday, he played 24 minutes against the Rangers, which was a career high. Then the very next night, he plays just over 28 minutes against Detroit. So he's logging a lot of ice time. He's not going to get top power play, but Pete did mention the shot volume that he has, the velocity on that clapper. And you're just at this point of the season, Nick, you know, you're just looking for somebody who's going to have a big usage rate, right, Pete? I mean, this is a guy that's going to log a lot of ice time. He's going to get hits and blocks. And ultimately, I really do like the Sens as well. And at this time of the season, when you're playing your best hockey and you just get into the playoffs, those are the teams that could go on a run.
Yeah, guys, I echo what you're saying about Yakimchuk and also Cleven. You know, Meany was talking him up in his workload. He had 6 shots on goal the other day. We picked him for a goal he didn't deliver, but you could get on him in the shot prop market for sure. And this heavy workload on these two young defensemen makes me worry, actually, about Ottawa making the playoffs, because Sanderson is one of the top 5 workhorse defensemen in the NHL, in my opinion. The longer they go without him, I don't know how well they're going to be able to sustain this year.
Guys, the East in general is so wide open. And Jake, I like that you brought up the Ottawa Senators. We all think Tampa's the team to beat, and understandably so. But how about Montreal? Means I can throw this over to you in our mailbag. We got a question about Montreal's crease. What do we think happens over the weekend? They got Columbus Thursday, a big one. They got meaningful games this weekend as well. Jakub Dobesh has been a great story. Inconsistent at times this season, but lately he's been hot. And I guess they're going to go with Fowler and Dobesh down the stretch here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Montembeau is not going to touch the crease. And, you know, St. Louis has been going back and forth despite Dobesh being the guy that wins hockey games. At the end of the day, you look at his resume and he does win games. You know, it's a little unorthodox.
Turbulent.
When you watch him play, yeah, he's kind of all over the place, but he was fantastic on Tuesday against the Carolina Hurricanes. He made 40 some odd saves. I would expect him to go again tonight against the Blue Jackets. Then they have the Saturday-Sunday matchup, Carolina again. So we could see Fowler. We should see Fowler in one of those two games, but I think, you know, if you're looking for one of those guys, Dobish is probably the guy, Jake. He probably gets two of these next three starts, and at some point, you know, you make a decision. They're both rookies. They're going to make mistakes. The Canadians are the second youngest team in the NHL. It's what we see from them, mistakes across the board. But Dobish seems like the guy right now.
And this is one of those weeks where the schedule could have been a nightmare for Montreal. It still can. They got off to a good start. They found a way to win that game against Carolina. Meany mentioned it. Dobish was fantastic. Gives up two goals early in the first, and you could easily fold as a goaltender. Mentally, he bounces back. He keeps Montreal in that game. They win it. That back-to-back on the weekend is in Nashville, in Carolina. Even that Carolina start on the second half of a back-to-back, Nick, as much as the Habs will probably be pretty heavy underdogs in that game, the shot volume for Carolina, I don't mind starting a goaltender against them in almost any spot. So I think Dobish is valuable. Fowler probably gets one start in there, and I'm really looking forward to that Jackets-Habs game on Thursday night. That's going to be a real important hockey game.
Oh, it's going to be a doozy, and provided the Habs get into the Stanley Cup playoffs, I like them, and on the money's coming up later on, I like the Habs as a dog in any series they play. I think if there's one thing we've learned about that team in the last 20, 25 years, when they get to the Stanley Cup playoffs, they're really, really difficult to play against. Even last year, they were the definitive underdog against the Capitals, one of the best teams in the league, and they gave them a good fight in that series. And it's funny, the last couple days, guys, I've been seeing all over social media people thanking the Vegas Golden Knights for the Pacioretty trade. Nick Suzuki has had an incredible season for the Montreal Canadiens. But that leads me, Jake, to Vegas. Are they the most disappointing fantasy team this season just because of the expectation? Mitch Marner goes in there, Eichel's supposed to take off, Hurdle, Stone, there's just so many guns. Like, Shea Theodore's had a down year, in my opinion. God, we've been waiting for that Vegas offense all season long, and I know they can't get a save, but they've been a massive disappointment for me this season. How about you?
I'm so glad you brought them up, Nick. This team has been so disappointing for me lately. I'm just waiting and waiting and waiting for them to step up and show me something. They beat Dallas on Sunday over the weekend, and I think, okay, maybe that's a step in the right direction. Then they lose to the Jets the next game. They can't string anything together. And luckily for them, they play in the pillow fight division, as Connor McDavid has referenced it. So the Oilers are lucky. The Golden Knights are lucky. It's funny, means they can lose as many games as they want. I still look at the standings, and they have like a 4-point gap. It's crazy what's happening in that division, but they got to figure out their game here in a hurry. Again, they are lucky they play in that division. They're probably still going to make the playoffs here, but can you explain, Means, what's going on in Vegas? Because I look at the roster, on paper it seems fine. Their goaltending hasn't been as bad as it's been earlier in the season. So what's going on? Why can't this team produce more offense? Because on paper, they certainly should.
Yeah, and at times we've made excuses for them because of their goaltending, but their offense hasn't been great either. And Jack Eichel, since the Olympic break, has been extremely quiet. I got bounced in one of my fantasy leagues last week. He had four games. He had 0 points. It's like he wasn't even shooting the puck. And, you know, if you're not getting offense from your top guys, you're going to struggle. So they have 3 wins in their last 10 games. Heck, they have 14 overtime/shootout losses this year as well. Like, this isn't a team that's been great. And it does look like, Nick, when you look at the standings, to Jake's point, nobody's really going to catch them in this division. The Kings can't get it going either. It looks like they're going to have a first-round matchup against Edmonton, and they may have to go on the road against the Oilers. So it's not ideal for them. It's no question, in my opinion, they've been the most disappointing team in the NHL this year.
Guys, the Marner file specifically, like, I think all four of us can concur that we didn't expect this guy to have 100 points. Like, nobody really has 100 points in Vegas. It's difficult. But the drop-off is significant, as we have this combo, 71 games, 19 goals, 70 points, who's a point-per-game guy. And I think, Jake, where he was drafted in most leagues, and I understand people were eager and anticipating, you know, monster numbers of the Vegas, it just hasn't been there. I would look at Marner as a big-time bust as well this season.
I was expecting more. I know you say, you know, you were expecting the points to go down a little bit, and I would agree with that to an extent, but I still expected more from Mitch Marner in terms of production. And I'm not necessarily saying it's his fault. Maybe it's a product of the environment and kind of where he's been put, more of the guy in Toronto, and now he's just one of a group of guys in Vegas. But I don't know what we do with him now moving forward, because we know he's never really been a shooter. You know, now the power play points, the assists, everything's kind of dropped off. So I expected it to be a little bit more of a lateral move for Mitch Marner. I mean, maybe there's a buy low opportunity on a Pacific Division team here, guys, because somebody's got to go through that conference final. But I mean, it's tough to sell Vegas right now. It's tough to sell Edmonton. Even Anaheim, as much as we enjoy the season that they're having, means does feel like they've still got some holes as well. I it's hard to buy into any of these Pacific Division teams come playoff time.
And if Drysdale's not going to be healthy the team come first round, there's going to be so many question marks regarding those three teams in the Pacific. And we know that the West is top heavy. So it would really surprise me, even with the Oilers being Stanley Cup, you know, representing the West over the past couple of years, it would really surprise me if anybody from the Pacific represented the West in the Stanley Cup Finals this year. As for Marner, you know, I think you just have to know your settings. He's not a guy that hits. He's not a guy that shoots. So when you look overall in those formats, he's not going to rank high. But if you're just in a league with goals and assists, I think he's a fine buy low candidate. And I would like to see him play with Eichel. We haven't really seen that. We saw that at moments. He's played some center this year. He's been with different wingers. I would like to see him play with Eichel, and maybe that, you know, could get Jack going.
Guys, if it turns out to be Vegas and Edmonton in the first round, that's an auto bet for the over, right, Pete?
Yeah, I mean, those teams have a deep, rich history of meeting in the Stanley Cup playoffs in recent years, so that would be a dandy. They'd beat the hell out of each other, and, you know, Vegas would probably win because they're the more complete team. But again, if we're so down on the Pacific Division teams and we can't figure out who is going to win that side of the bracket, why not invest right now in a long shot play on the Utah Mammoth, who could come to the other side of the bracket, like Meany said a couple of weeks ago, and they seem like a very robust team after adding Uyghur. All their young talent is healthy. I like them. I'll go out and say it. I like them more than any of the teams in the Pacific Division right now, period, end of story.
That's a pretty sneaky play there, Pete, because why try to figure out the Pacific when we could just take the team that's going to cross over to the Pacific? Keep it simple like that. Just avoid all the Pacific teams. Take a Central team that's going to cross over there. So I like that. Utah's been inconsistent as well this year, but I think they've shown me enough that they could beat any of those Pacific Division teams. Guys, dusting off the old mailbag here, we've got an interesting one. Obviously, we're all hopefully involved in fantasy playoffs, maybe semifinals, quarterfinals, finals, wherever you are. Chicago Blackhawks, decent schedule the rest of the way on the off nights, Friday and Sunday. We did get a look, Meany, at Anton Frondell. Picks up an assist in his first game. Actually, an exciting game against the Islanders. Islanders almost come back late in that hockey game. Frondell or Nazar for the Friday-Sunday games? I would say both are viable, but if you had to pick one, which one are you going with here?
I think I would go with the kid in Frondell, and I know that Nazar is a kid as well, but I was pretty impressed. I know that line kind of lived in their own end for the most part. The Islanders are really pushing in that game, but he had two shots. He had five attempts, which was tied with Bedard for the most among Chicago forwards. He had the primary assist there. You mentioned the schedule. The Friday-Sunday schedule is pretty nice. For just a child playing his first NHL game, he talked about the nerves. He talked about a guy like Matthew Barzal coming down on him, like what to do with his speed. You know, I thought, but, you know, he played a pretty good first game, Nick. So I would lean with probably Frondell. But, man, I think you need to get both of these guys. I mean, Lefshinov as well is up on that top power play. I know it's the Chicago Blackhawks, Nick, but the schedule, and you need some bodies. The Friday-Sunday schedule is real nice.
Hey, most importantly, there's a reason to watch this team down the stretch. I'll just put that out there. We haven't seen meaningful games from this organization in the last couple of years, and I think there's excitement brewing, and rightfully so. You know, we talked about it a bit last podcast, thought it was going to be Andrei Burakovsky, the veteran. Ryan Green has the garden seat on that top line with Bedard and Frondell. And I'd probably side with Frondell. I think it's so interesting. They have a first overall pick, a second overall pick, and a third overall pick in their lineup right now. Do Chicago. And Jake, we've talked about this quite a bit. What is this team doing this summer? What are they getting involved in? Are they ready to take that next step in their rebuild?
Part of me says just stay patient, as hard as that is for Blackhawks fans, probably because they've been patient so far and they're not seeing this team make the playoffs or even push towards a playoff spot. I'm okay with getting aggressive and going out.
They're not
free
getting
agency.
In on Jaden Schwartz this summer, I guess, or...
those are the types of players that they have sort of been in on, right? Go and get a Tyler Bertuzzi, and you know, some of these middling players who are fine, but that's not really going to move the needle, right? So if you could tell me there's a name out there that they could go and get and it would move the needle, I'm all for it. I'm okay with them going into free agency, but I don't think you do it just for the sake of it. I do think you still let your prospects develop. Or just getting a look at Frondell means I need to see something from these back end guys, these young defensemen. I know they tend to take a little bit longer, but Lefshinov, Rinzel, at least from a fantasy perspective, we've been kind of disappointed by these guys that we thought had a lot of potential coming into this season.
Absolutely. And you guys know I've been a big Renzel guy. He's lost that top power play spot. So yeah. Lefshinov has got that spot right now. He's shooting the puck and he's contributing with other categories. So I would say Chicago probably stays patient. You know, why not? They're super young. And Nick, they probably do go and get a veteran piece. Maybe it's a veteran piece on the back end. That's what they've done this for with the forwards over the past couple of years. Maybe get somebody on the blue line that can help some of those young kids. Going back to the mailbag, some questions here about, what to do with the rest of the week and, looking at some of these matchups on Sunday. We mentioned Chicago, so they play New Jersey. How about Connor Brown? I was looking at the back of the hockey card today and I was just shocked. So 13 games since the Olympic break. Jack Hughes has been awesome. He's got 8 goals and 21 points. Bratt has 16 points over that span. Connor Brown, playing on a line with those two guys, has 13 points in the 13 games. They've combined for 50 points in 13 games together. So it's a Sunday stream that most likely will be available. Chicago, New Jersey, we could see some goals. And I'll shout out a couple other guys quickly. Carolina playing Montreal. You mentioned, Jake, how they could be favored. I agree with you. Jackson Blake, Taylor Hall, Stankoven. They have 3 defensemen in the top 20 over the last 2 weeks. It's Keandre Miller, Sean Walker, who's the 6th-ranked defenseman in fantasy hockey with hits and blocks over that span. And then you got Nikishin on the back end as well. So a lot of options for Sunday that you can pick up.
You'd be shocked what guys can do when there's no pressure, right? I mean, that is a theme around this league right now. So many different teams who have been cooked for months. And here we go, Lafreniere. Here we go, Connor Brown. Here we go, Matias Maccelli. Like, show me in October, I think, if you're a fan of one of these teams. And a team we've known for a while have been cooked, and I get it. The Florida Panthers. Anton Lundell, out 2 to 6 weeks, rib injury. Reinhart's banged up. Marchand's banged up. We could all read between the lines what the hell's going on with the Florida Panthers right now. But another disappointing team from a fantasy standpoint, but I think you're always looking for replacement options. And along those lines, even in Pittsburgh, well, what an amazing story that team has been a couple weeks back. I stuck out my neck for Dan Muse. I don't think they've won since, Jake.
No, I don't know. Look, they've had a really tough schedule the last couple of weeks, too. They impressed me on that road trip. They had that crazy win against the Avs. Then the Avs got them back earlier this week. So I've been very impressed by Pittsburgh. But you got to be careful in the East. It's the opposite of the West. For the West, you could lose 4 games in a row and nothing changes. In the East, you lose 2 games in a row in regulation in that race. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, man, we're out of a playoff spot. Look what's happened to the Detroit Red Wings. So I think replacements for Lindell, I could kind of see the writing on the wall. He looked banged up and he was in and out of games. I think this is the right thing to do for the Florida Panthers. Marco Rossi's a guy I would still look at. Didn't get a point the other night in what was a crazy game against the Ducks, but he was out there for 2 power play goals. He basically had that 3rd assist. So I still like where he is in this Canucks lineup. I feel like he would be a nice replacement for Lindell if he's available.
Yeah, all of a sudden, you guys are right. When you lose a few games in the row in the East, you could be out of a playoff spot. The Islanders are just 1 point back of Pittsburgh. So it has been a really nice story. We know that Lindy Ruff's going to win that award. But if you're looking ahead to next week, just... Yeah, of course. It's luck, man.
Look at
the Sabres. Yeah.
It's over?
It's over. It's been over for weeks, man. A question about next week. Looking ahead, you can't feel too comfortable. It's only Thursday. But if you feel like you're going to punch yourself a ticket to the next round, Pittsburgh has 5 games next week. They're still scoring goals, right? Chinnikov, Mantha, Anaheim has a good schedule Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Granlund's got goals in 3 straight games. The Sharks, Will Smith could be available on your waiver wire. He just had a 2-point game the other night. San Jose starts the week Monday, Wednesday. St. Louis has a beautiful schedule Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. Maybe Holloway, Kyrou, Buchnevich, and the teams with 2 games next week, Utah, New Jersey. So if you're just kind of planning ahead, maybe you can cut one of those Devils or Utah players for some of those other guys you mentioned.
All right, guys, time for a break. On the other side, we'll get to On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. For now, look at NHL Fantasy Stars with Petey and Means.
All right, Petey, what do you do with your NHL Fantasy Stars lineup, not just today, but for the rest of the weekend?
So, I know the Buffalo Sabres play on Friday this week. Sometimes it's hard to fit some of these fringe guys into your lineup on the busy slate. So I'm looking at Jason Zucker on Friday for the Buffalo Sabres. Very quietly, this guy leads them in power play goals over the past 2 seasons combined with 21. He's been a difference maker for that team depth-wise each of the past two seasons, and you can get him on the open market in Fantasy Stars for only 300 coins.
I like that. A full slate on Thursday and Saturday. The Rangers play on Friday and Sunday. Just two games on Friday. Alexis Lafreniere has been red hot. 21 points over his past 17 games. 17 points in 13 games here in March. He's up on that first power play. And an under-the-radar player, Connor Brown, playing with Jack Hughes and Jesper Bratt, New Jersey. They've combined for 50 points in 13 games. So maybe take a look at Brown on Sunday. Check out NHL.com/fantasy for the must-start team to watch and under-the-radar plays. Download the NHL Fantasy Stars app today and watch those points pile up.
Welcome back to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen with you. It's time now for On the Money, presented by Bet365, home of the 3-goal early payout, an official partner of the NHL. Hockey fans tired of waiting for the end of the game to get paid? Ready to move on to the next puck drop? That's why Bet365, an official partner of the NHL, has 3-goal early payout. If the team you're riding goes up 3 goals at any point in the game, they'll pay your bet out early. Hockey moves fast, and now with 3-goal early payout, there's one less thing you have to wait around for. Bet365, download the app and see what early payout's all about. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. I know before the break, so Lindy Ruff, this is finished, wrapped up, get his suit ready or what?
I don't know
if I agree with that. I don't.
Well, who's going to get it? Over
I think John Cooper's going to get this award.
I mean, he's a minus 400 favorite. The Sabres are arguably the best team in the East. Nobody really even had them as a playoff squad, and they're doing things that we haven't seen since the mid-90s in Detroit. So, I mean, Cooper's never won. He's loaded with talent.
Yeah.
I think it's Lindy Ruff's award.
I think Kucherov's going to get the credit there in Tampa, which tends to happen a lot. And look, I'm long-term, Nick, John Cooper, he deserves some sort of lifetime achievement award because he's been the most consistent coach in the league. Look at the praise Connor McDavid heaped on him the other day, which, of course, got people in Edmonton up in arms saying, is he taking a shot at Knobloch? He's just praising John Cooper, a guy that coached him.
No, he was taking
Canada,
a shot.
So he might have been taking a little bit of a shot. Yeah, and Draisaitl's taking his shots too. We know Edmonton and coaches don't go hand in hand, but Cooper's been the most consistent coach. I would say he's the best coach in the National Hockey League, but this is a narrative-based award, and I think the narrative strongly favors the Buffalo Sabres this year.
Guys, I'll just add and bring to the table, I heard this on the sheet with Jeff Merrick, that he knows somebody who votes for the Hart Trophy, and they said they would not vote for Nikita Kucherov because he got 2.5 weeks off. I'll just put this out there right now. That person should no longer vote for that award, okay? Nikita Kucherov,
that's crazy talk.
As we have this combo, should win the Hart Trophy. He has been out of this world, out of this planet, out of this hemisphere. Like he has been so incredible, so vital. And Tampa's a team I think you can attack still from the awards point of view, guys. Like there's Vasilevsky, Cooper. I know we're thinking Ruff's going to win this, and I get that. I completely understand what you guys are saying, but there could be multiple Lightning winning big awards this season, understandably so.
Well, and Meany, we've already seen an odd shift from when we talked on Monday to where we're talking right now. And Nick's right, Nikita Kucherov gaining more and more steam for this award. And it's not like McKinnon's fizzling out. He scored the other night as well. But I think when you're trying to divvy up credit in certain situations, if we really like the Colorado Avalanche, that's a really good spread out team. And Nikita Kucherov just keeps doing it. So unfortunate to hear someone that actually has a vote would factor that in. I mean,
crazy.
It's not Kucherov's fault. He gets a couple weeks off and, you know, it's nice for him, but he was playing great before the Olympic break. He didn't seem like he needed the 2 weeks off, so that wouldn't factor into my vote. I'm with Nick. I would give it to Nikita Kucherov if we were voting right now.
And I think that's even more impressive that he missed 2 weeks and he's minus 400 favorite to win the Art Ross. He's now a favorite to win the Hart. So yeah, I mean, we talked last episode about him being 23 points back in December and now being a massive favorite. It could be Tampa across the board. Nick, maybe you're right about Cooper. Vasilevsky could win the Vezina. The Hart, the Art Ross could go to Kucherov, and I'll say right now, most likely my pick for the Cup is going to be Tampa Bay. I think they have the easiest path in the Eastern Conference if they can get by the Sabres, who we haven't seen made the playoffs in quite some time. This could be the year of the Tampa Bay Lightning now that Florida's been not in.
Yeah, you're right, and whether it's right or not, I think when betting on these types of awards, specifically Hart and the Jack Adams, you got to keep in mind who's voting for these awards and, you know, the storylines, and it's the PHWA. And that's why I think it'll go the rough direction. Like, it's been so long for Buffalo to make the Stanley Cup playoffs. They're going to get in. They might win the conference. Like, it's just been an incredible story for them. I don't want to discount either Rick Bowness. We've talked quite a bit throughout this season. Nobody wanted to make coaching changes. Credit to Columbus and Don Waddell, and veteran GM makes the change. Columbus doesn't lose. And along those lines, let's get into tonight's slate, guys. We got Columbus at Montreal, maybe the marquee game of the slate and the night. I like the over, Jake. I expect a lot of offense in that game. That's where I'll start.
Well, I hope not if I do end up starting Jack Greaves and Dobish. I need confirmation on goaltenders first, but yeah. I hear what you're saying. Could be a fast-paced game at the Bell Center. It'd be a really good atmosphere. It always is at the Bell Center, but with Columbus coming in, the way that they're playing. I did see some pictures surface last night of the Minnesota Wild.
And I did.
Matt Tkachuk at the elbow room. Guy, I know you probably saw
Cuban,
that as well.
Mark Cuban, Kirill Kaprizov. There was a cast of plenty there, buddy.
Looked like a good time at the elbow room, and obviously Minnesota in Florida to take on the Panthers. They were in Tampa, which was an exciting game a couple nights ago. So the boys having a few pops, maybe reminiscing over winning that gold medal. And Tkachuk's make. I saw him at TGL at golf earlier this week.
He's
making the rounds, just drinking beers and having a good time. And we know what the season is now about for the Florida Panthers. I do like Minnesota in that game. Means it's a little chalky though on the road, but I think they bounce back from that loss against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So give me the Wild. I don't necessarily love the line, but I think we should still get an exciting game despite the fact the boys might have been out late at the elbow room last night.
It's nice to see them get healthy, right? Kaprizov and Joel Eriksson Ek returned in their recent game. I thought they played really good against Tampa. They gave it up late. Edmonton and Vegas tonight, we're just all over both of these teams, a total of 6.5. Can Vegas do enough to get to the over? I would lean to the over there. The Ducks on the road against Calgary, I probably take them in 60. And then St. Louis, and the Sharks are just going through it right now. As long as it's Hofer and between the pipes, this guy's been unbelievable. It probably will be Binnington, but if it is Hofer, I can get behind St. Louis at -140 against San Jose.
Love it. Yeah, I'm echoing what Jake had to say. I like Minnesota, chalky line, but I like them to come back and beat Florida in that game. And Edmonton, Vegas, I'm going to play the Oilers puck line. I don't believe in either of those two teams, but I think Edmonton has Connor McDavid. He is my ultimate X factor in the game of hockey, even without Leon Draisaitl. So I'm predicting a big night here for Connor McDavid as we turn things over to Petey Props. What do you got for us today, bud?
So I'm looking at a couple of Blackhawks angles here as they've been playing spoiler lately. You could look at the Spencer Knight save prop for the rest of the season. He's actually done really well this season. 909 save percentage in 47 games for the Blackhawks. So another one of those young building blocks we were talking about. That team has owned Utah this year for whatever reason. They beat Minnesota lately. They also beat the Islanders the other day in what could prove to be a very costly loss for the Islanders. And then for Chicago, Anton Frundell, +310 for anytime goal on Thursday against Philly. I like that play, especially based on all the shot metrics that Meany was mentioning.
I just wanted to give more love to Nashville. It seems like the one team that's fighting for a playoff spot, the only team that has any consistency at the moment right now. They're +115 to be that final wild card spot. I think they're +130 to make the playoffs. Since November 26, Stamkos is tied with Caulfield for the lead in the NHL in goals. He's got 31 and 49 games. Over that span, the Predators have 61 points. They're tied for ninth in the NHL in points. They're just a couple behind teams that we like in the West, like Dallas and Minnesota. I don't expect them to go on a run or beat the Avs in the opening round, but all these other teams can't keep the puck out of their net, and there's no consistency. So take a look at the Predators and the Devils tonight as an over. A lot of offense. Maybe Stamkos is an anytime goal, and Forsberg is just on a heater right now. So, you know, take advantage of these Preds.
And if you go to NHL.com/edge, guys, you could find some breakdowns we did this week on Stamkos' bounce back season, on Yakimchuk, on Frondell, their debuts, Cole Hudson. We've been breaking it down and finding some good storylines late in the season here.
There you have it. Another On the Money is in the books, presented by Bet365, home of the 3-goal early payout and official partner of the NHL. Jake, as we set up Monday, week 23 waiver wire edition.
Looking forward to it. And just to add as well to some of the On the Money, 11 of the last 12 Blues games, it's not over. It's never over here. On the Money, that's never ordinary. It's never over. 11 of the last 12 Blues games have not gone over the total of 5. So keep an eye on some Blues unders here moving forward, maybe tonight and Saturday against the Maple Leafs. But Nikki Boy, wrap it up.
Jake's got to stay tuned on the campaigns for Bet365. Never ordinary is no longer a thing, my man. It's over. Finito. I miss that era too, guys. I really, really do. Great job today. Again, as mentioned, coming up on Monday, week 23, waiver wire edition for Jay Conn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen. I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Take care.